It is now 12 o'clock, calling the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting to, in order. First thing that we have is agenda announcements.
No agenda announcements.
No agenda announcements. Next item, number three, consider approval of consent agenda items. Do we have a motion?
I make that motion, we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next item, number four, is assistance program. Discuss and take appropriate action concerning radio interoperability assistance program application for the Tarrant County Sheriff's Office. Do you wish to speak to it?
I just have a request from Tarrant County Sheriff's Office for $59,710 to go towards their City of Fort Worth Motorola maintenance fees. This does meet the qualifications for the 2020 Radio Assistance Program. Any questions or would you like to answer?
Move for approval.
Second.
And I will abstain. So all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? One abstain. Next item is presentations. We had no purchases over $25,000?
Not at this point.
I think that's a first.
They'll be coming. They'll be coming. We're warming them up.
Next item is presentations. The first one from Gartner Consulting.
Yes, we have two representatives from Gartner Consulting that will review the presentation that was introduced last month. And then after their presentation, they'll be available to answer any questions.
Neil may need one.
Yeah.
Since he's going to be cutting checks.
Thank you. All right. Okay. My name is Julianne.
I apologize. Who was not here last month at the board meeting?
Chief.
Okay.
Chief.
All right. Then we're good to go. I apologize. Okay. I just want an introduction in case someone wasn't here, but.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Julianne Cole. I am an account executive at Gartner with state and local government. I focus on North Texas and Oklahoma. This is my accountant, William Wong.
Yep, I'm Will Wong with Gartner Consulting and Major Partner, part of the state and local government team.
Yep. So we've been engaging in some interactions between Shinar and team. There's two different ways that we're going to be working with the district. You'll see in the folder at the left side, that's my team, and then we have the right side, which is Will's team. What we want to do today is just kind of walk through a little overview of some of the key pieces. We can dive into some of the details, but really want to open this up for any questions you may have that we can answer for you. So in general, with the change that the district is going to be making, especially digitally, what we are looking to do is help them with the research portion, help them to save money, save time, mitigate against any risk. With Gartner, they'll have unlimited access to our subject matter experts, which is our analysts. We've got over 2,000 on staff, close to 200 or so focused on the public sector. So we go into this, I'll take the left side out. But in general, there's two different ways that we're going to be engaging. This first part is a 12-month advisory services contract. At a glance, you'll see what the deliverables are really around those unlimited calls when it comes to the analysts. At any time, any kind of projects that we're going to be taking on, they have that ability to run that past the analysts, get their expert opinion on that. So Shinar and the team have direct access to that. They can also do team inquiry calls with those analysts. They'll also be getting a couple conference tickets for training and education. They will be involved in our peer networking group, so we've got over 6,500 global peers that they will be able to network with, ask questions, connect with continuous service. So the way that we operate is our team engages proactively on a monthly basis with everyone who has a license. Now, when it comes to the team interacting with Gartner, they can do that as many times as they would like. So just as far as our, you know, connecting and reaching out, that's on a monthly basis. But they will have that access to the tools, to the templates, anything that's going to help them with what they're working on. If we go into, it is slide six, goes into a little bit of the specifics that this is what we'll start with in the very beginning. Like I said, with this type of subscription service, they can change initiatives at any time. So if the focus is different, they can swivel, they can change course at any time. There's no different statement of work, there's no anything different we need to do, they can do that throughout the duration of the subscription time. At the very beginning, some of the challenges that we've discussed are ways that we can save money. So contract reviews, any kind of budgeting tools that we have, different ways to help with that. So we'll be initiating in our cost optimization tracks to help with that. Also maturity scores, being able to go in and use our diagnostic tools to do full assessments in different areas of the business to populate a score, be able to identify where there's risks, and then also take appropriate action, specific steps to iteratively improve. So we'll be engaging in those. And then also, we've talked about the cybersecurity plan and engaging with the analysts on that. Gartner clients. So I had heard in the last board meeting, someone asked, who all are they working with? So I'm going to make sure to put that on the sheet. So that's on page seven. This is currently who we're working with in the state of Texas. We've just now opened up to Oklahoma, so you'll only see two, but that's going to be growing. This is also part of the peer networking that I was telling you about that the district now has access to engage with, connect with at any time. Some of the pages that follow that, you'll just see some of the details around that maturity assessment that I had mentioned, just what that looks like in a snapshot, some of the different areas that you can test. We recommend that people do this about every 12, maybe 18 months. We have a few clients of ours that are actually doing this as their annual business review to assess the same area, see what the score is, and continually improve. On the next page, you'll see more on our cost optimization techniques. Page nine is a little bit of how we help with optimizing IT spend. Contract reviews specifically on this next page, what it is, it helps Shinar and team understand what to buy, okay, how to buy it, what terms and conditions that they need to be looking for, and then what price. So what we'll do in the very beginning is take the current contracts that they have and send those to our analysts one at a time so they can review and find any of those areas where they can help save on money.
How many? How many contracts?
Unlimited. Some of these different IT budget tool, and to just some other resources that they'll be able to take advantage of at any time. Cost optimization initiatives like our toolkits, our decision framework that helps to prioritize cost optimization initiatives, any of that they have access to during that time. Now if we go into, let's see, this is page 14, this is the investment amount. This is on the DIR 4099 contract. I've added that to each of the presentations. If anybody wants to look at that DIR contract or has questions, feel free to let me know. But on this right side is all the deliverables that Shinar, Kevin, Monty, and Thomas will have access to during that 12-month subscription. And after that, I will pass this over to Will, and he can go through some of the consulting pieces. If we don't have any questions, please let me know if you have any questions that I can answer for you.
Go to part two, please.
Thanks, Jules. So the second half of this is related to proposed consulting engagement to assist the district in conducting an independent and objective cost and revenue assessments. And so there's quite a bit of data in this. I won't go through everybody's pages in the proposal, but just a high-level overview of what this encapsulates is. Our initial step of this engagement is to really understand and develop a baseline of what the current budget is from a revenue and cost perspective. So from a revenue perspective, we want to understand where your current source of funds. It's our understanding a large portion of it may be coming from not only user access fees, there may be other pools of funds that you're drawing from. We want to understand where those funds are being drawn today and how much this is being brought into the agency. The second aspect of it is to look at your overall spend. And when we say spend, we're looking at both your investments as well as the operating expenses. Once we understand and develop a baseline understanding of the budget, we'll be able to conduct a benchmark, maybe a customized benchmark across the state of Texas to compare how your revenue and costs align to your peer group. And we talk about peer group, it'll be the top three or four districts across the state of Texas that are similar size with the district. And with that, that will help us inform our next step of the engagement, which would be the alternative analysis. The benchmark will provide some information regarding how other districts are collecting revenue today, what are their source of funds, as well as looking at their spending and how they're allocating their revenue to their operating and investments as well. As part of the alternative analysis on the revenue side, we'll also take a look at industry trends to identify where's the industry going from a revenue perspective. So we understand that while a lot of the fees today are collected through wired and wireless line fees, there are potential other options and avenues that the district may want to consider exploring to bring in fees from a revenue perspective. And then from a cost perspective, we're going to look at some of the top key initiatives that the district would like to be embarking on over the next few years. Some of this could include next-gen investments, take a look at your facility capacity, and figuring out what are those key initiatives and what is that investment over a multi-year time frame. All this information will be pulled together to develop a multi-year budget plan that we will review with you and present to the district. Any questions on the consulting engagement?
Good.
Thank you. Any questions at all about either side from the presentation? Comments?
When you talk about saving money, how much money do you think you're going to be able to save through this process? I mean, you're spending money to save money.
Well, we're not really, we hope to be able to save some money in following best practices. In particular, as was mentioned in a couple of board meetings ago, we're at the point now where we need to upgrade our system. And that's a significant amount of money, and we want to make sure that the steps that we take are appropriate so that we're not wasting money, we're not spending money needlessly, and we're not buying in the products that we don't need. The second side of that, as far as the budget goes, the review of our budget to make sure we're following best practices in spending as well as in the fees and revenues that we bring in. So it is an investment, but I think at this time, with so many moving parts that we've had in the last 2 years and so much change in the next generation's applications and equipment, which is very, very expensive, we want to make sure we're taking the right steps.
When was the last time this was done?
Honestly,
Rick?
Never.
Oh.
And I think one of the big things that they will help us with is, in 2012, when we first started down this path, the Next Gen 911, I believe the board believed that at some point in time, we would be able to eliminate our legacy network. And we've learned since that there are parts of that that are still going to have to stay in place. So this will give us it will give the board a much clearer picture of who we are, what we do, how much it costs, so that we can better articulate to the people that we report to, the people who appoint us, as to this is how much money we need, and this is why we need to look at our sources and uses of funds.
And just to provide some perspective, the last upgrade that was recently completed, the total cost is going to run us about $18 to $20 million. So I would rather spend about $100,000 now on the next iteration of millions that will have to go out the door than to find out later on that we could have made wiser choices.
How often do organizations do these kind of reviews?
That's one of the biggest ways that we engage with our clients, especially in government. With government, especially working in city and in county government, you know, we're dealing with very strict revenue tax caps where we have to optimize as much as possible. So it is very, very often.
They come back and do it again after a few?
Regularly.
Regularly?
Yeah. And we can establish that cadence that works for the district, but it's on a regular basis.
You say regular, you talk about 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years?
It depends. It depends who we're working with, what the revenue model is. But typically, we're looking at least every year, or we're coming back and looking around at that. But like I said, it does depend on the client who we're working with.
Can you provide any examples, without naming names, of what you've been able to do with some of the contracts reviews?
Yeah. They're located here in Dallas.
This is Tarrant.
There's one group. This is I can speak. I can speak to this. This is DART. I mean, it's public. Every year when we do our annual business review with them, they're engaging mostly in those maturity assessments, where you engage in the assessment, it gives you a score, and it tells you specifically where you are in each category and steps to improve. That is part of their annual business reviews with all of their departments. So that's with that. With the contract reviews, for example, Tarrant County, we're taking a look at the contract schedule and finding out when renewal is coming up. We take those contracts, usually a couple months in advance, and we submit those to our analysts. Usually those analysts, most of the time, have come from that organization that the contract is from. So they're experts in those contracts, any hidden fees, any unneeded bundles, anything like that. And we're going in there and finding those areas and giving those recommendations. Also, advice on how they can better negotiate. So that's, for example, something we're working on with Tarrant County.
Any other questions or comments?
Sean, how often do you think you'll use this analysis tool?
I would say in the next 12 months extensively, because we are at the point where we need to refresh our network, and that's going to be a significant amount of money. So we want to make sure that we get a kind of a neutral perspective of where the industry is going and what's the best practice. I would like that once, 9 months into this, we come back together with the board and say these are the deliverables that we've gotten, this is the benefit we've gotten, And then at that point, we can decide whether we do another 12-month contract or we skip a year and then come back a year from there. So.
Well, hope for $77,000, we get a biased perspective, not an...
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So we also...
I don't want a neutral perspective for that.
Well, in other words, best practices in general, regardless of the agency.
And so a lot of that's captured. So we call them value reviews, and we call that an impact assessment, which we'd be happy to come back and share an impact assessment on all of the deliverables and what that ROI is.
Yeah, I think that would be very beneficial, especially if you want to use this going forward,
yes,
for us to be able to quantify.
And also remember, we have the board's committee that was created to look at the budgeting. They will, those members will be part of these meetings as well, and so there will be active board participation in the meetings. So it won't just be the meetings with updates, but actual board members also.
Yes. Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion?
I'll move to accept the proposal.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same. Motion passes.
And I'll abstain, please.
I'll take your second. Okay, the next item, 7, bid review for building renovation.
Thank you. Okay, we'll start on page 13. We have the bid and grading tabulation that was done. We received several bids for the renovation of the building, creating our network operation and 2 admin offices. Based on the grading, we chose SLS Johnson to do the proposed work. I do have binders with all the bids if someone wants to look at them, but we did include the winning bid, the bid that we felt was most optimal. The decision and the grading was done not only by the TC91 staff, but also by 2 consulting firms that helped us put the bid together. So we're very confident in the tabulations that were done and that the contractor chosen, the company chosen, will do a good job to the benefit of the agency. The second amount in there is with the new offices. We need actual office furniture, chairs, and etc. And we chose a DIR contractor there. And that one starts page 33. Spencer and Company, and although we did not have to bid for them, we did do some due diligence in comparing prices and companies, and they did, those on the DIR list, they were very responsive and provided us with a not only reasonable quote, but we're very responsive to our needs to make sure we're just getting funded with something that will be beneficial. So we're asking the board to allow us to move forward. These funds were already approved for the renovation and are part of the budget, but we're just letting you know we went through the bid process and the vendors that we chose.
Make a motion we approve the bids for contracting.
Second.
Is that for both A and B or just
for both A and B?
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries.
We will once again move the vehicle policy consideration till next month. We've got a lot of stuff on our plate. Unless someone brought something with them today that they want us to consider amenable to, since I know a lot of folks have to get back to other things, to moving that to next month.
So can I just pose my question that you can have those for consideration when we come back?
Yes.
Throughout the policy is broken up by departments in here. Numerous times it makes a distinction between district vehicles and department vehicles, and I think we just need to clean that up. I see this is only one department. and the department policy should be consistent throughout. If Tarrant County 911, if y'all have your different divisions broken up and you call them departments, I just want to see the consistency throughout the policy of what applies to which group. Do you think you should consider vaping in district-owned vehicles as being prohibited as well? You only prohibit tobacco products and not vaping. And then there was just a couple of typos that I picked up on that I'll leave you the copy with.
Anyone else?
I'll add those and then we'll resubmit the updated one for next month.
Move to item 9, Executive Director Report.
Basically, the only announcement that we have to make is last Friday we did send out in our PSAP managers or the weekly brief and a memo advising the PSAPs. We did get a request for potentially if a PSAP wanted to send their offices out for or send their employees out to decontaminate their centers, basically where would we go? And so we went ahead and cleansed the backup centers and sent out a memo letting the smaller PSAPs that do not have dedicated backup centers know that they have the ability to use those centers temporarily to go ahead and decontaminate their centers and then have their folks go back. So we had our CPE team as well as Travis go out, physically visit the centers, make sure everything's up and cleansed, check on radio response and the signal strength and et cetera, so that when someone's able to use it, we can schedule that, get folks in, they can decon their centers and then, you know, go back home once they're done. So we made that arrangement.
No access issues with the building for that?
No, we can take care of that as long as we're notified first.
Yes. So they've been advised to schedule it first so that we can have staff on site to make sure everything's up and running. The second thing is that because of the situation, our tech team, our IT team, and our CP team will be largely monitoring the network remotely, and we will limit our visit to the 911 centers. Some of them have, by order of their city or agency, limited visitors anyway, so we'll definitely respect that. But then also, if we had any schedule, just checkups and things like that, as long as they're not service affecting, we will limit those as well. But we'll be fully functioning for any types of issues, call outs were necessary, but we will be respecting the various quarantines and concerns, both with the district as well as with our PSAP. So we will be, unless the board has anything to add or a concern, we will be sending that additional email out after the board meeting for the tech side.
Yeah, just to add on to that, so no change on AT&T, just text dispatch normally. We might home base them. We're looking at that right now. All management's been home-based. So we're limiting our interactions, no tech meetings, no group meetings. So they're all kind of operating individually in that regard, but the management team is still expected to be out in the field. So Kenneth or Jeff are still expected to be out there. They may be operating from their home, but everybody's, we're BAU, we're just not congregating.
Right. And we will also be reaching out to all of our tech teams to let them know that they need to be aware if they're going to a site, what might be going on there.
Yeah.
We have received official letters from at least two of our cities, if not three, and we will be letting your techs know and other techs what that situation looks like so they can be prepared that they may not even be allowed in. So we just want to keep everybody abreast. Okay. Naturally, anything of serious nature, service affecting, we expect that there'll be no issue, even if it requires an escort or whatever. But just the normal daily stuff, meetings and et cetera.
The only thing that might come up is we did put an 80-hour item in place for our techs, so if they need 80 hours to take care of somebody or whatever. So you might see a different person roll in that's not quite there if somebody has to take advantage of that. But we also put an age threshold on it. And we followed basically what's going on statewide and federally.
So our team would just ask if it's someone that we're not used to dealing
call
with
Jeff or,
that
or
we need to know Kenny. Because of the security of the badging, even that would be normal under any circumstance.
Right.
So that be kept.
Well, we're hoping that that's limited as much as possible. The 80 hours.
Okay.
You want to speak to any briefing events you've got coming up?
Tomorrow morning, if we're allowed to congregate.
Well, I'll talk to you about that. We'll be a special access.
We'll be speaking with the mayor's,
the
commissioner's court, sorry. A brief presentation on an update to Texas 911. And then on Thursday, we will be having a PSAP manager's meeting. So far, we still have a good amount of folks in-house. We're going to attempt to record it, so that those that can't make it will be able to see it. But we will be focusing on both text to 911, the training, and the visits that we will be making when appropriate to do so to get that up and running, as well as rapid SOS.
And we should get confirmation tomorrow morning about the mayor's council.
Is
that it?
Yes, sir.
Legislative briefing?
I received an email due to spring break. Let's see, the COVID-19 response says Governor Abbott declared a state of disaster for all Texas counties and announced the availability of state's first drive-through testing center in San Antonio at a press conference on Friday. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has instructed Senate interim committee chairs to postpone committee hearings for the next several weeks. Speaker Dennis Bonin has canceled all non-legislative gatherings in the House chamber, meeting rooms, and John H. Reagan building until further notice.
He should have done that before they recorded him.
Key results of the March 3rd primary election. Railroad Commissioner Ryan Sitton was the only major incumbent who lost outright in the primary. Sitton lost to Oilfield Services Company CEO Jim Wright. Sitton, who had the support of Governor Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Patrick, and U.S. Senators Cornyn and Cruz, had maintained over $2.2 million in his campaign account. Wright had less than $13,000, yet managed to pull off an upset win. In the Senate, M.J. Hager is in the May runoff with longtime Texas State Senator Royce West. And the winner of the May runoff will face U.S. Senator John Cornyn in the general election.
If we have a runoff, are they considering delaying that as well?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Could happen.
Texas Senate District 27, longtime Senator Eddie Lucio Jr. of Brownville faces a runoff against Attorney Sarah Stapleton Barrera. Lucio has served in the Texas Senate since 1991. Senate District 19, San Antonio, has traditionally been Democratic-leaning. However, Republican Senator Pete Flores won the seat in the special election in 2018. He will face the winner of a May runoff election featuring Representative Roland Gutierrez versus Pinel Rodriguez. Texas House, one of the most watched Texas House races in our era, was House District 90, seat 92. Which became open when Representative Jonathan Strickland of Bedford announced he would not seek re-election. Attorney Jeff Whitfield will face former Bedford County Councilman Jeff Kaysen in the general election. Two incumbent House members are facing opponents in May runoffs. House District 59 Representative Sheffield will face Shelby Slauson, and House District 2 Representative Dan Finn will be facing Brian Slayton in runoffs. In House District 97 in Fort Worth, Representative Greg Goldman will face attorney and veteran Elizabeth Beck in the general election in the fall. And last, the Senate District 14 includes all of Bastrop County and parts of Travis County. With the announcement of State Senator Kirk Watson resigning effective April 30th, the first dean for the University of Houston Hobby School of Public Affairs, Representative Eddie Rodriguez, announced he's running for that seat. And shortly after that, Travis County Judge Sarah Eckert resigned to also run. Several Austin City Council members are still determining whether to run or not. That is our update.
And sure. Mayor, you brought up about the elections, which is still kind of up in the air, we don't know, but not everybody was in here when I was talking about this earlier, but because Governor Abbott has declared a state of disaster, he has the ability to suspend statutes, and Texas Municipal League has sent him a request to suspend several statutes, and we've also talked particularly about the election issues coming up, early voting, and whether or not the election should be postponed, whether or not runoff should be postponed, and so all of that is supposed to be considered by his office now. He has the ability to take action on any of those things, but it's in his court right now.
So if he suspends the elections, say in May for local, what happens to those people?
They continue to serve until we have the election.
Was the public meeting statutes one of the things that they sent up to him?
One of the requests, yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes.
And you were saying that public meetings still have to have a quorum?
As things stand right now, even in a state of disaster, in an emergency, we have to have a physical quorum present in one location, and then others can video conference in. Or if we have an emergency that we're actually acting on, then we can teleconference in without having a quorum present. But unfortunately, regular meetings that occur during this state of disaster still have to have the quorum present. So we have to have at least four voting members here to conduct business. If we can't get that, then Shinar, call me. I'll find a way to get it done. So.
Do we have a need for an executive session today?
No, sir.
Any comment from the public? I move the adjournment of this meeting.
You're a great chair. You got this meeting over 37 minutes.
That's excellent.
Who's second? Who's second?
I second, sir.
You don't have to ask a second.
I'm busy.
The chair can just adjourn it.
Thank you all, ladies.
Here's your son.